Well, what is up, Northridge Church? It is so good to be with everyone. Welcome home and welcome to the family. And if you're a guest with us this morning, you couldn't have picked a better Sunday to be here. It is one of our Super Bowls here at Northridge Church where we get to celebrate baptism. And so thanks for being here. And hey, Rochester, can you do me a favor? Can you help me welcome our campuses this morning? Come on. Webster, welcome. Brighton, welcome. Online, welcome. We are grateful that you are here this morning. And I just want to catch everybody up. You see, over the last 6 weeks, we've been in a series called The Ripple Effect. And all that throughout this series, we've been casting this vision that we want our church to have an effect on our community and our city and our suburbs. We want the gospel living in us to have a ripple effect. And here we are, you know, we've casted this vision. What's great is we bring this series to an end today. We, together as a church, get to see the tangible evidence of how God is using us. We get to see the tangible evidence in people's lives as they go public with Jesus, saying, wow, God is using our church to change the trajectory of this city and this area with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we prepare for baptisms, here's what I want you to know. Baptisms ripple. Baptism stories have a ripple effect. In fact, if you're here today and you're getting baptized, I want you to know that your story, your baptism will impact our church. Because I saw it just at first service, you're gonna leave here today excited and encouraged and amazed at what God can do in people's lives. And your story matters. You invited your friends and family, and your baptism story is gonna ripple into their lives and the stories that you share. Baptism stories ripple. But it's really important as we prepare to celebrate baptism, we answer this really important question. What is baptism? You see, what is it that today we as a church are going to be celebrating? Why are people coming and being dunked in water? What does this mean? What is this about? And so before we dive into God's word, I want to give you a picture, an illustration of what baptism is. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and we thought we would stick with that theme to show you a picture of what we're celebrating today. Check this out. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. It's one of the most anticipated sporting event of the calendar year. Millions upon millions of people are gonna be inviting their friends and their family over. They're gonna be ordering pizza and wings, gathering their snacks to watch this game. Thousands upon thousands of people are gonna be flying to Las Vegas, filling the stadium to watch their team play. And yet, the Super Bowl is kind of bittersweet for many of us, especially Bills fans, because it's another year where the Bills came just short. But hey, take it from a Cowboys fan, I feel your pain. But the Super Bowl also is the end of the NFL season. It means after church on Sundays, there will be no more games to watch, or Monday night, or Thursday night, or even Saturday night. And yet it's here in the game of football, where I think we see a beautiful picture, an illustration of what baptism really is. You see, I'm here at Highmark Stadium, a place that I'm assuming the vast majority of our church knows really well, because it's the home of the Buffalo Bills. It's the home of Bills Mafia. And if you were to come to a game here, a home game on a Sunday, you would see thousands of people gathering early, bringing their coolers, their tents, the tables they'll jump on. They'll bring their food, their jerseys, the things they wear in anticipation to celebrate their team to victory. And it's here with Bills Mafia that I think we see that picture. Because when you come to this game, you will be clearly able to identify who's following the Bills. Because they'll be wearing blue, red, and white. From the Zuba pants that they wear to the jerseys that they will have on, they are clearly identifiable. And as a Bills fan, when you put your jersey on, you're declaring publicly who you follow, where your allegiance lies. And the truth is that's very similar to baptism. You see, today, when you watch people get baptized, what they are doing publicly is they are declaring where their allegiance lies, who they follow, that Jesus has changed their life through his cross and his resurrection, that they are identifying with Christ's journey through his death and his burial and his resurrection. They're putting on a jersey that says, I follow Jesus, that he's my forgiver and he's my leader. And so maybe today is your day. Maybe today is the day where you stop pushing a decision aside that you know you need to do, to publicly declare to your church family, to your friends, what Christ has done in your life. Maybe today is the day you get baptized. You see, ultimately, that's what baptism is, right? I see jerseys all over the place. It's like putting on a jersey, and that jersey is you publicly declaring with your life, I follow Jesus. Because baptism is a public display of an inward change. When we watch people get baptized, they are declaring with their life publicly to their church family, to their friends, what's happened on the inside, that Jesus' cross and his resurrection has made me new. And when you study the word baptism, baptizo, it literally just means to be dunked, to be immersed in water. And that's why we do baptism the way we do. That's why we put people under the water, because they are identifying with Christ's journey on their behalf through his death and his burial, but also his resurrection. When they come out of the water, it's representing that they are raised to new life in Jesus Christ, that they have the victory through his resurrection. And when it came to the early church, if you study baptism and you study the early church, what's fascinating is you would never find a believer, a follower of Christ, who wasn't baptized. Because when you got saved, it was the next step. It was the thing that you did. You followed Jesus through baptism. In fact, in the early church, they did it even in the face of opposition. Right? They knew that if they went public with Jesus, they could easily be kicked out of their home. Their synagogues, their religious leaders would reject them. Some people, it could even cost their life. And it still didn't stop them. In fact, at the beginning of the early church, Peter is preaching the gospel to this large crowd, much like we are here today. And he's just preaching the hope of Jesus, his cross and his resurrection. And the crowd is enamored by it. They're amazed at the hope that Jesus can bring into people's lives. And so after Peter is done preaching, they ask Peter this question, what do we do? What do we do with this news? And look what Peter says, Acts 2:38. He says two things. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized. You see, the order of those commands are really important because repentance comes first. And repentance is a churchy word. It literally means to do a 180. That repentance is I'm walking in my sin. I'm walking in my disobedience to God. But to repent means I'm going to turn and walk into the life that Jesus offers me through his cross and his resurrection. I'm going to do a 180. And you repent, and once you repent, Peter says, you get baptized. Repentance and baptism in the early church were synonymous with each other. And so as we think about that question, what is baptism? There's a couple of things we need to understand. Number one, baptism is a command from God. The Bible clearly teaches that if you know Christ as your personal Savior, he is your forgiver and your leader, your next step is baptism. And so I want to say this as gingerly and as harshly as I can. If you know Jesus, if you're here today and you know Jesus, you declare him with your mouth and you believe him with your heart, he is your leader, your Savior, and you haven't been baptized after that decision, you are currently living in disobedience to God. You are currently disobeying a command God has clearly given you. But the great news is today you can change that. Today can be the day where you walk in faith in Jesus. The second thing we have to understand about baptism is your personal declaration that Jesus has changed your life. It's you with your life in front of people, in front of your family, your church family, saying, I want the world to know what Jesus has done for me, the hope and the peace he's given me through his cross and his resurrection. You see, sometimes we get it confused, but I want us to understand that this is just water. It's about 96 degrees, so it's perfect, right? It's very warm. But this is water from Rochester. I mean, we just pulled it from the Genesee, so it's slightly dirty. But there's nothing special about the water. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of you declaring with your life. It's putting on the jersey saying, my allegiance lies with Jesus. I'll follow him and I want people to know I've made that decision. And what's sad today is we're different than the early church. The church has changed because what's sad is in Christianity today is people wait and wait and wait to publicly declare their faith in Jesus. But the early church was so different than that. They couldn't wait. It's much like you think about that jersey illustration. You ever met a fair weather fan? Yeah. They kind of drive you crazy, don't they? They're probably wearing Chiefs jerseys today. Sorry, my bad. But you know those fair weather fans where they go one of two ways, where they just follow the team that's winning and they put that jersey on. But there's another kind of fair weather fan. They're the type of fan that says, oh, I follow this team, but they never put the jersey or the gear on because they're afraid that that team might fail them. And so the truth is many Christians today, they live that way. I want Jesus and I want all the goodness. I'm just not ready to publicly declare him with my life. I'm not sure I want people to know I follow Jesus. But when it came to the early church, nothing would stand in people's way to say, I've got the hope of Jesus in my life. In fact, one of my favorite stories in the Bible when it comes to baptism is connected with this man in the book of Acts. He was an Ethiopian man. And he's reading the scriptures. And as he reads the scriptures, he doesn't fully understand them. He's confused by them. And so an evangelist named Philip comes to this Ethiopian man and he describes the scriptures. He explains it to him so much that this Ethiopian man right there on the spot surrenders his life to Jesus. He says, I want to follow Jesus. I want his hope. And as they're traveling home, you see in the scriptures this Ethiopian man frantically in a desert terrain looking for water because all he wants to do is publicly declare his love for Jesus. In fact, look what it says in Acts chapter 8. He says, look, I found water. Here is water. What can stand in my way? What could get in the way of me being baptized? What could get in the way of me following Jesus? So I would ask you today, follower of Christ, you follow Jesus, but you haven't been baptized. What is stopping you? What is getting in your way? What excuse have you come up with today? And I get it. Many people have a variety of answers to that question. Some of you are here today and it's just a lack of clarity because you were baptized as a baby and you wonder, is baptism for me? Well, the truth about infant baptism is really that's not a personal choice. It's a parent's choice. And at Northridge Church, we would call that more of a dedication than a baptism because we know that baptism happens after you personally decide to follow Jesus. And so if you were baptized as a baby and you know Jesus as your personal savior and you haven't been baptized after that moment, today is your day. Or maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and honestly you're like, man, Drew, I want to get baptized. But honestly, I'm terrified. I'm nervous. And I get that, right? Like some of you are thinking like, man, being in front of people, that's like my worst nightmare. I struggle just showing up to church. It gives me anxiety and I don't know. And if you feel that way today, Here's what I want to declare over your life. I believe that your faith in Jesus today will triumph over your fear, because today is your day. Or maybe you're here and you say, man, I'm ready. I just don't know if I'm old enough. Like, at what age can I be baptized? And the truth of the scriptures are there are no age limits on baptism. There's only one requirement when it comes to baptism. You have to know Jesus. You have to follow Jesus. You have to declare over your life that you're a sinner and that you follow and you believe in Jesus' cross and resurrection. And if you've done that at age 7, or you've done that at age 24 or 55 or 88, and you need to get baptized today, you believe in Jesus, today is your day. Or maybe you showed up today and you're like, Drew, I'm ready, but I didn't know I was gonna get baptized today. What can I tell you? We've been praying for you. Our team has been praying for you, and we have amazing volunteers this weekend who packed bags after bags after bags of t-shirts and underwear and feminine products. Listen, if we don't have it, we'll go get it, because nothing should stand in your way, because today is your day. Or maybe you're here today and you would say, Drew, I just don't know if I follow Jesus. Like, I've been around the church, I know the story of the gospel, but I'm not sure. And it's really important that you are sure, because baptism happens after salvation, the moment you say yes to Jesus. But here's what I want you to know, is that is not a complex equation. You don't need a pastor to follow Jesus. You don't need a friend. You just need your heart. And today, you can choose with your life to simply say, God, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of your standard, but in the midst of my sin, you rescued me. You paid my penalty on that cross, and you give me the victory through your resurrection. And if you confess that to God, you can do it the early church today. You can get saved and baptized on the same day, because today can be your day. Or maybe the last excuse is the hardest, because some of us are just afraid of what people might think when we get in that tank, because we have past. And we're afraid that when we get in that tank, someone might think, they're not worthy. They're not worthy of Jesus. I know what they did. And can I just tell you the truth? None of us are worthy of Jesus. But the truth and what makes the gospel so sweet is Jesus offers his grace and his mercy freely to us. And so here's what I know about this church, because I know the people of this church. When you get in that tank, we ain't gonna be thinking about your past. We're gonna be celebrating the future that Jesus gives you. Today is your day. So here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna give some instructions and I'm gonna give you a chance to respond. And I'm gonna speak to two sets of people listening. I'm gonna start with our online family. If you're watching online and you're ready to get baptized, you got two options. The first, if you live in the Rochester area, you can simply turn your TV off, you can close your laptop, find the address to the closest campus, whether it's Webster, Rochester, or Brighton. Drive there, walk in, say, I'm ready to be baptized. We will walk you through the process and we will celebrate when you go under that water. Or if you live in the state of New York or somewhere farther away from Rochester, just go to iwant.info. There's a baptism tab and you can just fill that out. We'll follow up with you, and later we will celebrate when you take that step. But if you're watching at one of our physical locations, you're watching at Brighton, you're watching at Webster, you're watching at Rochester, I'm gonna count to 3, 2, 1, and all you have to do, you wanna get baptized, is you have to stand to your feet, walk to the back of the auditoriums, and there will be volunteers guiding you to go a certain direction. They'll walk you through the process. We are ready for you. And so nothing should stand in your way. What could get in the way? No excuses today. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior and you haven't been baptized after that moment, today is your day. And so here we go. We ready, church? We ready? Yeah. If you ain't getting baptized today, your job is just to celebrate like heaven. So if you're ready to get baptized, just stand up. 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Come on. Stand to your feet. Come on. Stand to your feet. Come on. Come on. Stand to your feet. Let's go. Here we go. Come on. Here we go. If you want to get baptized, go. I hope I can't walk tomorrow because we baptized so many people. Listen to me, this is really important. As much as we celebrate today, I want us to understand something. This is not a Northridge thing, this is a God thing. This is God working. He's the only one who can do this. No program, no strategy creates this. It's the Spirit of God moving in people's lives. And today, He gets the credit for what He has done. And so what's cool is we have three stories of people at different locations that are getting baptized today. And I just want you to rejoice in what God has done in these people's lives. Take a look and listen.
Life before Christ, I guess you would say, was pretty lonely. I felt anxious a lot of the time. I felt like I had no one to talk to about my problems, and I really struggled throughout college, and I just really sometimes felt like giving up.
I grew up in a Christian home, a Christian family. I grew up in the Lutheran church. About 5 years old, I still remember giving my life to Christ and, you know, confessing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But it wasn't just a one moment thing. It was definitely a growing with Him.
I accepted Jesus into my heart when I was young. But in January of 2017, I lost a very close friend in a car accident, which really shook up my world. And I really was struggling. My anxiety took over and my mental health started to take a toll, and I felt like I kept trying to take over control, and I didn't let God lead my life, and I turned to worldly things, and my life just seemed like it was rapidly spinning out of control, and I just couldn't keep it together.
So this past year, I was hospitalized for the second time. It was just a really lengthy hospital stay that left me unknowing about what was going to happen in my future. I really just started praying, and I just saw God shining down on me, saying that it was going to be okay. And that's when I really thought, like, okay, I'm ready to place my faith in Christ. And that's basically how I decided that's when I was ready to fully commit to Christ.
A friend of mine's parents packed, I think it was like five of us teenage boys into a van and drove all the way down to Kansas City to a One Thing conference. It was where I really experienced God as my own, as not just my parents' faith. I really felt like that was a turning point to say, this is my relationship with the Lord.
I had hit a breaking point, and I knew that I needed to take my faith more serious, and I fully surrendered my life to Him, and the peace that overtook me, just a weight had been lifted off of my shoulders. My anxieties didn't seem so daunting. I was able to wake up in the morning and not feel the heavy exhaustion that I was feeling all the time, or had been feeling.
Some things that have changed my life since knowing Christ and growing closer to Him is my friendships have blossomed. I just feel thankful for all the people that Christ have brought into my life, and the families that I work with. You know, it's a blessing because some of my families have grown so close with me, and some of them now even come to church with me. And I just feel truly, like, thankful for Christ for bringing these amazing people in my life. And I just continue to, like, look out for Him when I feel like I need more support, because I know I'm not alone.
What impacts my day-to-day would be, I'd say my first thing would be how I raise my kids, how I pour into my boys. I feel like requests are from God to raise godly men of integrity that really, I feel like we're lacking in our culture. Boys that will be boys, but fear the Lord and walk boldly in righteousness.
My life has changed for the better because I placed my faith in Christ. I no longer wake up feeling that heavy exhaustion or feeling a crippling anxiety. I am able to wake up and take on the day and feel excited about it and really just live for Christ. I am able to see God moving, and I know that he is moving in those moments, as hard as they may be, and a peace that just makes no sense. I can't describe the peace that I feel knowing that God is in control of my life now.
Some things that got in my way of why I wasn't ready to get baptized include just being in a family that is not as supportive of the Christian faith, and I was just nervous of what my family would think. But I knew that Christ was calling me to get baptized, and regardless of those feelings, I want to get baptized because I want to proclaim my faith publicly and share my story. After my last hospital stay, I just really felt that calling that I was ready to be baptized.
Growing up in the Lutheran church, I was baptized as a baby. At the end of this year, kind of beginning this year, I really felt like the Lord put it on my heart to get baptized. You know, as a Christian that, you know, we're baptized after salvation. And
I want to get baptized because while I might want to be invisible sometimes and I hate being the spotlight, I know that my story is important to share because I want to proclaim my faith for all to hear.
Because of Jesus, my life has changed.
Because of Jesus, my life has changed.
Because of Jesus, my life has changed.